Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/talkover or follow the Talk Over podcast page on Spotify.
Yo, Stylus and Double back in the building for another Talk Over podcast. What's happening? What's happening, my dude?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my bro. How was it?
What point? Yeah, oh, mate, it was sick. Absolutely sick. I went to Cyprus, man.
You was living like a king, my G. I seen your
story. You know what's... Yeah. The vlog was fun to make, man. But you know what's mad about Cyprus, right? I don't know if you know this, but they do the countdown. They don't do the countdown in the club. The club didn't open till 1 a.m., which was proper mad for me.
That's a bit weird.
So, so basically, the way they do it is everyone does the countdown. They spend their time with their family or their friends or whatever. So they might be in a restaurant. They might be just chilling at home. Okay. They might be in a bar. But the clubs don't open until 1 a.m.
That's actually pretty sick, to be fair. Like, well, depending on what kind of vibe you're going for, but being able to spend time with the fam and then the night kind of starts after that.
I'd love to do it here.
I think the countdown is overhyped anyway, man. See, this year, for where I played, it was like, you try and gas it up towards the countdown, innit? You want people like lively, but you don't want to like go in too hard with the music because it's only 12 o'clock. So it's like you're trying to get the balance of getting people gassed but not like burning your night out. So this year for me, yeah, it was like, I don't know, man. It's like they weren't ready for the countdown when the countdown happened.
I've always felt that way about DJing in the UK on New Year's Eve. You have to like that, especially 11 till 12. You've got to really make sure that that's like everyone's on point. Everyone's having the best time and all the bangers are out. But then by 12 o'clock, it's only 12 o'clock.
Exactly, like, you might have, man.
when you're trying to do a five hour set
as well, it's like, right, okay, yeah. So the first hour, man's got to go in. And then for the next 4 hours, like, you've got to hold it. You've got to hold it more than ever when it comes to New Year's Eve.
Hard work on New Year. But yeah, for me, it was real easy in Cyprus. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was just a dope vibe, man. I played at a club in Nicosia called Club Tees. So shout out to Milto, he's the boss. Big ups to DJ Blend and DJ Adriano as well.
Adriano.
They held it down nicely, bruv. Decent, good warm-ups as well. That was like really important. They did like half an hour sets each, so they kept alternating.
Sick.
But they didn't burn any of the big tunes. Like, they just, the hosting was on point. Like, they're very good DJs, man. So
is that the first time you played abroad on New Year's Eve? Because I've never done a DJ set abroad on New Year ever.
I've never DJed abroad on New Year before. So that was definitely a first.
There you go, one for the bucket list, my dude.
It was amazing, man. I'm not going to lie. It was amazing. Especially as my original New Year's Eve booking fell through. So I just thought I was going to be doing nothing on New Year. And then, because big up DJ Volatile, he came through as the plug and sorted me out with Cyprus, man. So,
yeah, I bet. Mrs. Double was thinking, yeah, Double, man's going to have the night off this year. New Year. Spend some time with the family and that.
She did stuff with her sister and her family, man. So yeah, she was good. She's a party girl anyway, so.
There we go. Okay, so this week, it's a conversation that we've been wanting to talk about for a minute, to be fair. Like, I think we've touched on it over the phone a couple of times and just really wanted to touch on, like, record pulls, man. DJ City, Crate Connect, like, late night record pull. There's, like, I'm trying to think of the other ones.
Digiwax is hard,
wow,
bro.
Nah,
that's a good one to... You know what? Digiwax is a good place to get clean albums.
Okay. Digiwax is that annoying... That's that annoying pool that sends about 500 emails a week. Basically, one thing that I wanted to touch on, really, like, it's not even saying it's a negative, but I just feel like a lot of the DJ sets that I'd be hearing, especially in the last, like, 2-3 years, as these record pools have got more and more popular, I just feel like it's made the DJ's life like a lot easier when it comes to like collecting music. Like, not saying that's a negative, but one thing it has done has made a lot of these DJs like a bit lazy, if you know what I'm saying.
100%.
Like, it's allowing these guys like not they don't have to like really dig as much. Like if it was to, if it was to go back to when we first started playing, obviously it was pre-digital format, so there was no record pools. Like there was, you couldn't get MP3s or anything. You literally had to go out and dig and source your music. So if you was to like find, like you could find a little white label there in your local record store that only like a couple hundred copies have been put out there, and you've got one, you know that no other DJs have got their hands on that record. So then that would be like, I mean, that would be like special. That would be like a special part of your set that you know next man is not going to be playing that record, if you know what I'm saying.
And that's the thing. If that was, if that tune was a banger as well, people could only hit, like, there might only be a couple copies in your town
exactly
of that song.
Exactly.
So if you get one of them, the only place people can hear that song is at your DJ set.
Exactly that, my bro.
It's, you know what? It's mad, actually, because back in those times when you had to pick your music, like, so I used to go into the record shop and literally spend the day there listening them through ones. All the new releases and listening, and I would only pick and buy the ones that I liked. So my record collection is only songs that I like. That's it.
Okay.
Because having to spend your own money on it, it's why would I buy
completely
music?
Different like, ball game, innit? When you when you're spending £8 on a single like? Vinyl, that shit was that's expensive. It.
That's it, man. I'm spending like, I'm dropping like £300 every time I go to the record store. So why would I buy a song that I don't like with my money? And so in turn, that reflects in your club sets. All the new songs that I've just bought, I'm now playing in the club. And one particular record, which I actually was lucky enough to get on super, super early, was Akon, Locked Up.
Okay.
And I remember, right, this was before it was getting played on radio. I think, I remember it was like 18 months before it got released as a single. 18 months, bro, I was playing it before it got released, right? And I got it from the record store and I used to play it. I was just a warm-up DJ in Brighton at this point, but I played it religiously. And then when it got released and blew up, everyone in Brighton used to come to me and be like, yo, this is the song you've been playing for AJ, like forever.
Oh, right, bro, right, see, though, them times, man.
So, it's not like, I'm not saying I made the record blow up. Obviously, it was going to. But for my town, for my audience, whenever anyone hears Akon Locked Up from that era, they will think of me as the DJ that they heard play it first. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's so 100%.
No other DJs really were playing it around the time that I was playing it. So that's what set me aside from other people. And I think you're right. Like these days where music is so accessible, and especially in terms of the record pools being just a certain collection of music, it means lazy DJs that don't want to go and search other places just get that day's worth of music and that's what they play.
I think that's one part of the culture that's missing as well, you know, when it comes to, like, that was part of what I enjoyed when I came through as a DJ, was going out, sourcing records, spending the day in the record stores, researching. I had a link at Fat City Records, which was like a huge record shop in the city centre. It's like eventually, like they went bust and had to close, man. Like in that era when vinyl like completely died off. But I used to go there every Monday, and they just used to have a stack of the stuff that they knew that I was into that they would just put to the side because they knew Monday I was coming in to rinse through and normally leave with like a handful of records. So I feel like a part of what really made me fall in love with it to start off with, that's kind of like completely gone now. And it's just like the DJs don't really have to do the hard work. Do you know what I mean? Like anyone can go and subscribe now to say like a DJ City, a late night record pull or whatever, and just have instant access to a catalogue of the bangers. So it's like, obviously not all DJs are moving like that, but I'm just saying from going off what I've heard and when I've been around, it's kind of monopolised a lot of these DJ sets to where they're all playing the same edits, the same kind of stuff. And like just been a bit lazy.
There's so much laziness about, bro. And you know what? Actually, like, I know we did the mashups podcast the other day, but this is one thing I was going to mention about it, is what I think should happen is, personally, I think the mashup DJs should pull back on who gets their mashups. Okay. And I think that's another way, because I've throughout last year, I go into different scenarios. I was in like a, It wasn't a DJ event, but they had a DJ, but it was like a food event, like a food festival type thing. And the guy was just playing bare mashups, like mixing them, but just playing a lot of mashups.
Okay.
And then playing a lot of like transition mixes and all stuff that's just everyone else was playing, basically. Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
I use about five different record pools, bro. I've got like two or three UK ones, and I've got a handful of American ones, and then throw in like my own like research and digging for artists and mix all that together. It still allows you to be like creatively different with how your sets are. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I do use a lot of DJ City bits. I do use a lot of like record pool edits, intro edits, remix edits. But if I mix that in with a lot of the stuff that I dig out or things that I make myself, like you say, a lot of my refixes don't even see the light of day. Like, I'll keep them in my own set, so I'll send them out to like a bunch of people. So yeah, it's I think it just depends how you approach the DJ game, innit? Like, some people, we're quite lucky, bro, because we come from a different generation, so we know what it was like to move, like when in the era before like MP3 and streaming and everything took over. Whereas the new generation that are starting now, record pools and stuff is like, that's just a standard thing. Like, that's...
But you know what's mad though is it's even easier nowadays to find new music. Do you know how much of it there is out there?
Oh yeah, like, bro. This is what we
said in one of our 2018 roundup podcasts. I'm sure we just said like, throughout 2019, every DJ should find at least one artist and bust them. Do you know what I mean? Like, just relentlessly play their music in your sets, in your mixes and all of this stuff. I think that should be a thing. Like, it really should be like, if you're not playing new music and if you're not taking risks with music that no one else has heard, then what are you really doing? You're just a human Spotify playlist.
There's no excuses now for finding new music, bro, because any of these artists out there, like, anybody can release music now. It's not a case of all you've got to get a record deal,
not anybody,
publishing this.
Everybody
can. Like, literally, like, we could bring, like, me and you could do a song tomorrow and drop it on Spotify and get bare streams.
Yeah. It's mad.
But anyway, it's not even a hating thing. Like, it's just a general observation. Like, I listen to a lot of mixes. I listen to a lot of stuff on Mixcloud. You know, keeping up with the competition in that. And then I find like 90% of the stuff that I listen to is the same, man. It's the same. So
I think it's a higher percentage. A lot of the DJs...
Man said 90%, you know, and the guy said higher than 90%?
Bro, I'd say 95%, yeah. 95% of the extra stuff that I've heard... Okay, let me switch it around. Only 5% of the DJs or DJ mixes that I've heard recently have I thought, wow, this is sick, like, I've never heard this before, and had to look up certain songs. Other times, I even know, like... certain mashups and stuff, like, do you know what I mean? Everything is just playing all of the same tunes.
I think it's become mad because, go on, sorry, bro.
Well, as DJs, we need to be different. The problem is, what everyone's doing is they're checking everyone else's Instagram story or everyone else's mix, and they're hearing certain songs and they're thinking, oh man, I need to be playing that certain song. If it's like the biggest song of the time or one of the biggest records, then I agree, you do need to be playing it. But at the same time, add your own flavors in it. Like, if there's a song that you think is an absolute monster, even if it's not the biggest record in the world, even if you are the only person that knows it, just fucking put it in your sets, man. It just makes you a bit different, doesn't it?
I think a lot of people have got caught in the rat race of it, because obviously the whole weekly mix thing got popular, and you know what I mean, we've seen a handful of DJs break through and get huge off it. So a lot of people just they'll go down the same route and just get caught in the rat race of just flinging out anything just to keep up with the demand of the mixes. Do you know what I mean? And then the quality just doesn't end up being there, or these men are being lazy. But I love it. I love throwing in like a left field track that nobody else is on, because 9 times out of 10, someone asks in the comments because they can't Shazam it. They can't find it online. Like, I always sprinkle 2-4Ks, little unreleased bits into my mixes, little tactical ones. I'll just throw them in there, unreleased stuff. And 9 times out of 10, someone writes in the comments, what's the song at 10 minutes, 14 seconds? And it's normally the one that is unreleased and is not out there that the man can't find, or they can't Shazam it, do you know what I mean? So, because everything's so accessible now. So when man can't find a song on Shazam, like, their head falls off.
Yeah, definitely.
Trust me,
that's the thing, man. It's because It's because what they'll do is they'll search for it online. So they'll search in the record pools and then they'll look for their emails to see if they've been sent it. And when they can't find it, they don't know what to do with themselves. Yeah. And suddenly they then also feel like they're behind the curve because they don't know what this song is.
That's real. It's mad, bro.
It is down to this laziness at the end of the day. That's what it is.
It comes down to the individual, man. Like, if you really love this game and you're about it, like, you find the new music, you use all these record pools and all the other tools that are available, but still keep yourself, like, as an individual, have your own individual, like, sound. I use pure record pools. I've been with DJ, like, at DJ City, I've been with them since they launched, like, helping them with the podcast, and, like, I used to, like, submit music to them. To go up on the site. So like I've been part of building the platform. But yeah, it's definitely gone down the route of it's just allowed bare DJs to be lazy and just get, I mean, they sign up £15, £5 a month or whatever it is, and boom, they don't have to do no work then. They just know they can jump on DJ City, Digiwax, Late Night Record Pool, whichever else, on a Friday night, load up and they're good to go. Kind of thing, do you know what I mean? And kind of misses out all the bits in between, there's definitely
pros and cons to record pools. One thing I do like is, like, with the record pools, DJ City in particular, they do have like the intro mixes and stuff, which can come in handy
sometimes, but not for
every single mix. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, if you're DJing, don't just DJ every single mix is an intro and outro mix. But another thing is, like, acapellas occasionally, but instrumentals as well. Do you know what I mean? That's not always stuff, especially the acapellas. Record pools, when they have access to acapellas, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the sickest, man.
You can't necessarily get the acapellas off iTunes or wherever else you might get the music that's not a record pool.
They post a lot of DIYs as well, man. Like, they make a lot of stuff in-house, which I think is sick. Like, big up Satoru, man, because he's like the intro king, bro. He does all of the intro edits, or like 90% or more of the intro edits.
Yeah.
Like the re-drums and that. So like Satoru is the king when it comes to that shit. So yeah, man.
And stuff like that is cool. When they do the re-drums or like the club edits, for example, when they do like the just the first one that pops the head, Sicko Mode, where it's the Drake only version.
Oh yeah, part two intro edit, part three intro
perfect.
Edit.
Perfect. Perfect for the club. Just drop that in a Shellers. And perfect. stuff like that I think is fine if every DJ plays that, because I think the first part of the record's a bit dead anyway.
I think one of the pros as well is I think it's dope for the artists to be able to, because a lot of artists submit their stuff directly through DJ City, knowing that they can get that output and get it directly into the hands of the DJ. So one thing that DJ City did create was that database of literally any DJ, probably, like, they're all the way across the world now, but especially in the UK, like, they have got every DJ, and any DJ that is about their game or doing anything, making any kind of noise, is on DJ City. So it's like, it allows the artists to get their stuff directly into everybody's hands, whereas before, do you know what I mean? Like, artists trying to get music to DJs, yeah, they'll get it to a few, but trying to get it to a national database like that was pretty much unheard of. Yeah, you've got the pluggers and stuff, but even then, like, not everybody's on the pluggers mail outs. Like, it's tough. Whereas,
and not only that, it's a lot of money to get a plugger to do a campaign.
It's not free,
it's not cheap, it's a lot of money, man.
And the artists do get that, like, they receive their royalties and stuff, like, through DJ City too, so like they're getting their contributions. I mean, the DJ.
Oh, what they do? The artists get paid.
I think they have some kind. I'm sure there's something in place where they have to contribute in some way, because they're basically if they're making money off it. So I mean, the people pay for the subscription and the artist's music goes through there. There has to be. I don't know what the gospel is, but you would think that there would be some kind of contribution in it. Otherwise, how would they get away with charging?
I always just assumed it was well, if you send us your music, we'll make sure all the DJs have it. And this is how many DJs we've got.
Okay.
So it makes sense.
Surely there would be a legality, though, right? If you're charging for a service that is content that you don't own, in a sense.
I don't know. It depends.
Satoru, play, any of you, man, if you watch this, jump in the comments, let us know.
Is there PRS for artists? If so, I'm going to start submitting tracks to DJ City.
Get me. So that's one thing that I think is dope. I think like if like I put out that iPhone song with 2-4 early in the year, and literally boom, straight through DJ City, and then within a week, all the DJs have done, like, they're all on the Insta story, boom, boom, playing iPhone, this, that, all that, and it's all come through there. So, like, that is, yeah, it's a big look, man. It's a big look. But as for you lazy DJs, yeah, sort
tell
it
him,
out.
Tell them, bro.
Do you know what I mean?
Tell them, bro.
Sort it out.
Stop being lazy.
Get me.
But do subscribe to the record pools, because it's good for some stuff.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, subscribe to them. Like, further. They're good to have. It's part of the arsenal. Like, you need to be... Excuse me. You need to be signed up to these record pools. Like, it's part of it. Like, flipping heck, I've got 5, bro. Like, I'm getting sucked out.
Yeah, that's a bit mad. How much is that costing you every month?
I'm not even sure. They're all around the same price. They're all around the same mad. Price. So, it adds up. It adds up, man.
Yeah. One thing that DJ City do extremely well is they have a good community
yes.
of DJs. Like this, the good thing is, especially with the link ups and stuff, this is another pro to the record pool. The DJ City link up that happens. And now they've got them. I think it's the first one happened in America. Now, obviously, it happens in England. I think it happened in Germany this year as well, and Cyprus.
Oh, they've done loads, so man. Like, I'm sure they've done, they might have even done an Italy one or something, man. I'm sure I've seen Pure stuff popping up for that. It's, they built the sickest that community.
That is the good thing, the community in a job where basically most people don't like the other people because it's all, everyone sees themselves as competition and that. So, you know what I mean? It's all a bit messed up.
I think it's the first of its kind, especially in the UK as well. Like, I think people have probably tried bits and bobs like that, but like going off the link ups that I've been to and then the way everyone's interconnected on social media to get everybody in the same room. Everybody kind of knows of each other anyway through Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. So, it, like, once everyone's together, it just becomes like a giant family in a sense. Like, I think all of the link ups have been sick. I never got to go to the last one, but like the previous ones, even the first one, bro, was in a Nando's basement in central London.
I never went to it.
And there was
you telling me about
it. 150 DJs, bro, just eating chicken. Just literally just chopping it up, and like Mr. Jam got up, said a few words and whatnot, and Dr. Psycho was there, man. Like, bless his soul. Like,
rest in peace, Psycho.
I remember just Dr. Psycho was just the life of the party that day. It was so funny,
legend.
Bro. Like, legend.
What a legend.
But yeah, man, big up all the DJ City camp. Like, what them guys have built is next level, and to take it all the way across the country, across the States, Europe, like Italy, France, Germany.
Mad.
It's actually bonkers, you know. Like, they're going to keep going. They're going to keep going.
Crazy. But at the same time, if you're using a record pool, get your lazy claw into some other places online. Find some new music and play it. Take risks. DJs don't take risks. That's the problem. They're scared to take the risks.
Bro, so
that's right. Everyone just sounds vanilla with the same sets.
Everyone just sounds plain, ready.
But
salt.
Actually, you know what? You know
ready
what?
Salted.
I don't think the DJs are fully to blame, because I see in some instances actually why it is difficult and why some DJs would be scared to take risks with music, and it's partly down to the crowd. Because if you, like, these days the crowd can be pretty dead, man. Like,
it's so brutal now.
The Insta crowd. If they don't know a song, they will just stand still.
Bro, it's like, brutal now, man.
Literally, like,
brutal. Like, you could be stood there DJing and like you're questioning your own shit. You're like, yo, is this me, or are these guys really this dead? Like, I can't figure it out. Like, yeah, you're totally right, man. I think the attention span and the knowledge of half these ravers, they're just not plugged. They're just not on it like that no more. Like, I remember I was ranting on Instagram the other week about the old classics and stuff, the 90s, the hip hop that we grew up on, that are like, you know, anthems, bro. Like, they're irrelevant now. You play that shit to these new kids, and they're looking at you like, is this guy all right? Like, what's going?
When was the last time you played MOP Anti Up?
Oh, a long time ago, bro.
Bro,
I can get away with that at my Saturday spot, because you can play like classic hip hop and whatnot. But as for the younger crowds that I play to, my Fridays and in the week, nah, not a chance.
I can't remember the last time I played it. And that used to be my rhythm.
Annie up, get that fool.
Shit. Mad. Sorry, yawning my head off, bruv. But yes, it's a tricky one. But I think, like, the thing is, the best advice to DJs would be, like, just add your own flavor to the sets. Don't just get it from one place. Don't just get your music from one source. Find lots of different ones. Find some new artists.
Don't be afraid spend to add time. In the spice, man. You
that's the thing. Spend
spice,
time
my
listening
G.
to music. Like, spend time, learn how to discover new music. And not only that, when you find a banger or a song that you love, if it's a song that you love, that's how you add your flavor to your club sets.
Don't be afraid to shout about it, man. Like,
exactly.
Bro, I'll post stuff in WhatsApp, yeah, and like all the man are into this trappy stuff. I'm not like completely on it, and they'll be like, oh, this is a banger, and I'll be like, nah, this is dead. And then I'll throw a shout in, and everyone will just bury me. But I'll just own my, You got to own your selections, man. Own them 100%. Selections, bro. Own them with confidence in it. If it's a banger, make sure you've got to make sure you put it on. Shout
you
about
lazy
it.
Lazy pricks.
Anyway, we'll add the lazy pricks, you know. I'm going to put the DJ City bits and bobs in the bottom in it. So if you guys want to subscribe to the site, if you're not already subscribed to it, go check it out, man. But obviously, DJ City's family, you get me.
You get me. It's the Talk Over podcast with DJ Double and DJ Stylus.
Subscribe to the channel.
The end.
The end.
Ha 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 ha.